Good evening. Parshas Chukas, very interesting one. The first couple of questions that I set out to answer in generally is things that bothered me over the years. And if you notice, you take a look at the beginning of the parsha, which discusses the Parah Aduma, the red cow, the red heifer. It begins, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe v'al Aaron Lamar. But after that, it's Aaron seems to be left out of the equation here. And Elazar takes center stage at this point in time. That's question number one. And basically, there's more than one question to deal with that. And if the purpose of the Parah Aduma was to cleanse oneself, to purify oneself after someone has come in contact with a corpse, then it creates a problem if we are told in generally, and I espouse that thought process in general, that Moshe generally tells the people what they need to know when they need to know it. But here is one very interesting point, and that is we discussed in Parshas Vahaloscha, Vayu Adam, Asher Hoyu Tmeim LaNefesh Adam, that there were people who were carrying Arona Shel Yosef or whatever was the reason that they were given that they were Tameh and they couldn't eat the Korban Pesach, and God explains to them that He creates a makeup day for Pesach Sheni. But still in all, they have to become Tahar. So how did they become Tahar if we're not told about the Parah Aduma till now? And the answer is really very simple. Because if you take a look over here, generally speaking, every time that God commands the Bnei Yisrael to do a mitzvah, and then it says, Vayasu, Moshe, they did what God said, or they did what Moshe said in the name of God. But over here, there's no recognition of the mitzvah that God has now given them, and it doesn't say anywhere that they fulfill their obligation over here. And the answer is all tied up in one thing. Obviously, Moshe, at the time after Matan Torah, Moshe made the first heifer by himself, the first Parah Aduma Moshe, produced by himself and did all the things necessary for it. He understood, he's the only one who really ever understood the whole concept behind the Parah Aduma, all the questions that go with it. But nevertheless, Moshe already did it so that they were able to use it. The problem is now that they are about to go into the land of Israel, they're going to have many battles. So at this juncture, they still had enough ashes from the cow that Moshe created. But at this point in time, it's not going to last forever. And Moshe knows that it will not be able to sustain all the wars that they're going to go through in the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, and that tells us something else right now as well, that he knows, even though it's before he hit the rock, that he's not going to lead them into the land of Israel because of things that we've discussed and will discuss once again. But nevertheless, for the reasons behind that, that this wasn't the hitting the rock, wasn't the final blow. It's just it was the final blow, but nevertheless, the main reason wasn't necessarily hitting the rock as we see the way it was done. That wasn't his major sin. But nevertheless, he's telling them now, and that's why it doesn't say Kasher Tzivo Hashem that they did it, because they didn't have to do it now. Moshe, they already still had the Parah Aduma from previously, and the ashes were going to last still for a long time, for a while anyhow, but nevertheless, it would not last forever, and therefore, since Aaron would also not be around to do it the next time because he would also die, as we see in a couple of aliyahs that Aaron passes away. This is now suddenly the strange thing about this parsha is, of course, as soon as we finish with the story of the Parah Aduma, suddenly the time changes from year number 2 to year number 40. And we only have about 7 or 8 months left to the end of the 40 years, and they're getting ready to march. As we see, the parasha ends with Vayachanu b'Moav b'Arvos Moav al Yarden Yerecho, the same way the Masos, the journeys end after they list all the Masos in Parshas Maaseh. It's the same way because the reality is right now where they are now is at the end of the parasha, where they get to, by Achanu Biarvos Moav Al Yarden Yerecho, is the last one of the Masos. At this point in time, they finish their travels, and this will be their last jumping off point for the land of Israel, and they will enter from this juncture. At this point, this is their last travel, and from here in the whole Sefer Devarim is Moshe giving his speeches and giving them all the laws that he hasn't, that heretofore he did not give them. But so the Parah Aduma now is given to the commandment to Elazar, because he and Aaron had done the first, and they will both be out of the picture. So now it was time for them to, since this was the last year, to tell them everything about the Parah Aduma. Then we move on, very interestingly enough, to the story of the hitting the rock. But prior to the hitting the rock, all of a sudden it says, Vatama Shom Miriam Vatikover Shom. Of course, why does it have to use the word Shom? Shom indicates the word Shom, and the word Shoma could be used as well in certain places, but we see that we are told, if you take a look, and it holds true, I've checked it out, the word Shom, whenever it says Shom, it means in Chutz La'aretz, and the word Shoma means Hu Yavo Shoma Oso Chazek, when God tells Moshe to tell Yoshua that he will go into the land, is Shoma, and various other places, when it refers to Eretz Yisrael, it refers to it with the language Shoma. So Miriam died there, and she was carried there, as opposed to Yaakov, who died in Mitzrayim, but he wasn't buried in Mitzrayim. He was buried in Eretz Yisrael. And that's where we see the difference in the language usage as well. Interesting point there. But nevertheless, Miriam dies, and suddenly the water stops flowing. And they all descend, the mob scene, they descend upon Moshe and complain to him for their water. And they say, you know, we need our water. And Moshe grows very angry, and God tells him, you know, that's a fair request. I mean, after all, you need water to survive, and if they don't have water, I'm not angry. Let them ask for water, and that's fine. That's a fair request, and we'll deal with it. And God tells Moshe, conquer Samateh, and take your stick, you know, and go over to the rock. But of course, by the way, it uses the word Selah this time as opposed to Tzur. In Bishalach it says Vikisa Tzur. Significance is the word Tzur means a smaller rock, and a Selah is, as the Malbim explains, is a much larger, it's sort of like a mountainside. And he says, and talk to the rock. And of course, they've, as we've said before, the people have been living off money from heaven and hitting the rock. They get the water from a rock. And it's very interesting. Some of the Mefarshim actually claim that while water came from the rock, there's also the miracle was with Miriam was wherever they encamped, they found a water. They found water. You know, there's various places you'll see in a desert a lot of times. There's an oasis. And wherever they stopped, and they were able to find water besides from the rock as well. But now they complain to Moshe, and Moshe, even though God tells him to talk to the rock, which would create a bigger miracle. Of course, the miracle of hitting a rock and water coming out is still phenomenal, because how do you get blood from a stone, so to speak, as the expression would go? How do you get water from a rock? Hitting it doesn't solve any problems, but speaking to the rock is a greater level of an ace, as the Malbim points out, and that's what Moshe missed over here. He missed the opportunity. But then why, in fact, did Moshe lose his cool? Why did he actually get angry at this point? And, of course, it's very simple. The Bnei Yisrael didn't even appreciate, they didn't even begin to understand that the only reason that they had the water in the first place all these 40 years was in the zchus, in the merit of Miriam, Hanavia, Moshe's helpmate, and in her zchus, because of her tzidkis, her righteousness, that they were able to get this water for the 40 years in her merit. And they didn't appreciate it. And then instead of coming to, normally Moshe loses his, it's on some level a soulmate, but somebody who looked out for him. Don't forget, We know from Vateisa Tzavachu Somei Rachok, Miriam was the person of, she was so instrumental in the fact that Moshe was still alive at this point, because it was through her prodding her parents to get back together that Moshe was born. And after he was born, she felt behooved to stand by the Nile, at the side of the Nile, to see what would happen to Moshe. And when she saw that he was taken out of the river, she called her mother to intercede and offer her services as a nursemaid for the child, which was an incredible feat. I mean, she saw him from the beginning of his time until now, and Moshe certainly appreciated that, and he had no ill will towards her at any time at all. And his love for, and respect for her was phenomenal, and she was a person who stayed on the side, because we see by crossing of the Amsuf, it says that when the Shira ends, Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Voed, it says, Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah Es Hatov Biyadah Vateitzena Kol Anoshim Achareha. She got the song going once again. She got with the musicians. She was his accompanist, that she was his helpmate in everywhere, his biggest supporter, and he lost her. And the people descend upon him like a mob, not even appreciating that they lost Miriam for the water. And instead of paying a shiva call, instead of saying to Moshe, we want to express our sorrow over the loss of your sister and offer our condolences for the loss of your sister, and we feel very bad. And by the way, we're wondering now what's going to be with the water, but that's not what happened. The first thing they do is descend upon him. And that really rankled Moshe very much, and that his anger really was set off by this, and he couldn't take it anymore. And this caused him to lose his cool. And for that, he was punished, obviously, by not going. But the thing is, why was actually Moshe punished at this point for that? Was it really a punishment, or did God have something else in mind? And the terminology is very interesting when God says, Yan lo hamantem bi, because they didn't believe in me. The Malbim makes a point of saying that they were used to so many miracles, and he wanted a miracle of a greater point, something even greater that they hadn't experienced, that would solidify their trust and belief in God. But actually, when we think about it, this was God's way of saying, Yan lo hamantem bi. The operative word in this sentence is the word be, in me. Because if we take a look in all the time, even though we say it when the crossing, when God split the Yam Suf, when they left Mitzrayim on day number 7, when the sea split, and it says, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv Moshe avdo. They believed in God and Moshe, his servant. But nevertheless, what that implies in the pasuk, perhaps I would like to suggest that they believed in Moshe also as not necessarily a deity, but on some level of having a human being who has certain supernatural powers. And of course, as they always see, he was the leader. He was always carrying that matzah. He was the one who brought about the 10 makos, the Red Sea. Haremis matchon etei yoshotcho alayom. They see Moshe creating all these things, and God wanted Moshe simply to take the stick and to show the stick means nothing, to show him that the stick is absolutely not powerful. I am only using the words that God gave me to say, to ask the rock for water, not so much the miracle of it, but to make them understand that everything that has happened till now, the reason that they have survived 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, for these 40 years, and enjoyed all this food and water and the cloud cover that they've had to prevent them from sunburn. They didn't have any suntan lotion, that they didn't need it. But the clothes grew with them. Everything they had, everything was provided for them. And God wanted them to understand here, when he felt angry, when Moshe hit the rock and they came to Moshe to complain, God's attitude was, why are they still coming to you, Moshe? I blame you on some level for the fact that they didn't stand by themselves and pray to God and say, let's pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one who has all full control of everything that happens in this world. Yan lo hemantem bi. And so there's only one miracle left for them to believe in me, and that's when they're going to cross the Yarden and the sea will split the same way that it split by when this Red Sea split, and it's Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo. There's one thing that has to change now. Moshe has to be taken out of the equation. And now when the Jordan splits, when they go into the land of Israel, Moshe cannot be there, so that the B'nai Israel understand that at this point in time, it's only God. Certainly they would not think in any way, shape, or form. Yeshua grew up through the ranks. He was a buddy, so to speak. He was as old as most of the people. He wasn't an elder statesman there. He was just the one chosen by God for his closeness to Moshe, the way other people see him. So they didn't have the same level of respect and the same thought that he was a supernatural being, and they would look at the crossing of the Jordan River as totally the act of God. And God, that's what he understood, and said, I'm sorry, Moshe, but due to this, the fact that we lost that opportunity of this phenomenal miracle, and the fact that they still believe in you to some degree as a supernatural being, you cannot accompany B'nai Israel to cross the Jordan River. And that was an unfortunate fact for Moshe, and that was on his shoulders because he lost his cool at that point in time. Because the reality was, as we've mentioned before, we'll probably mention again in Devarim, when Moshe tells B'nai Israel why he's not going in, and he blames it on the Meraglim, the whole mice of the Meraglim, and he says, that's why I'm not going into the land, and not because he hit the rock. So hitting the rock was, and some of Farshim want to speculate that God gave Moshe a second chance after the story of the Meraglim, and he blew the second chance because once again he showed the problems here by not following exactly the word. And as we see. That every time that Moshe got into trouble, it was because he did not say exactly what God told him. And we have to learn that many times. Sometimes we add things to things that God says. We think that we'll explain it in a better way. The Chumash is very, very terse, but on purpose. And God does lo so say for love, lo sigram imenu, the Torah says, as we're going to read in a few weeks. Don't add or don't subtract. God's Torah is given. The words that he uses are for the express purpose of teaching you the lessons and the mitzvot that he wants you to learn, not to postulate and think this is what God means. I think this is what God means and this is why I should do it. We could speculate as long as we understand that we don't understand, and it's not important that we understand. And that is the lesson of the parasha, and I would like to wish you all a good week. I also would just like to say, if there's anybody that has any questions at this juncture, I'll stay on the line for a couple of minutes, and if you could, I know some people, I've been told, have some questions, and I wouldn't mind answering them if they could forward it somehow, and I would get on it and see. But I'd like to think I've answered most of the questions, and thank you, and have a good evening. I'll stay on the line.
Thank you, Rabbi. It was fantastic, and we appreciate all that you do every Tuesday night. And also, I appreciate sitting with your wife in class today. She's an angel, and behind every great man is a great woman.
All right. I appreciate that. Like Moshe had Miriam.
Right. Yeah, well... Yeah, that's very true. Very, very true.
She is the unsung hero here. That's what it really comes down to.
I have a question. Why is it that they showed such disrespect for Yehoshua that when he passes on, most of Klal Yisrael doesn't go to his Leviah?
Well, that's, things are, when suddenly everything is good, when everything is going along fine and everybody has ishtachas gafno, there's a chicken in every pot and everybody's having a good time, you don't look at what you're missing. When a person, you know, we don't appreciate the magnitude of somebody's loss, how it affects us until long after it's happened. When Moshe passes away, they didn't all cry, like when the Aaron died. They didn't all cry for Moshe. Some said, all right, listen, he was our leader for 40 years. Moshe was the leader for 28 years. All right, so we'll have another leader. Everything is fine. We'll get along. We're doing fine on our own. Things look good. And you're not concerned. The people who have millions of dollars in the bank are not really concerned about who's president, so to speak. And, you know, it won't affect their economy, their lifestyle. And that's the shame of it. We don't appreciate it. And that's why it is a very big mitzvah to go to a levaya, because we have to accord the proper decorum and the proper respect for people. And it says that the Bnei Yisrael were punished because they didn't treat some of the Nevi'im with the respect they do. Yirmiyahu was treated abominably, Hosea was treated abominably, and the various other Nevi'im, and Yirmiyahu certainly, and Yechezkel, all these people, and you know, there were people who were obviously, we have a fast day for Gedalia. We have, there were people who were murdered, and we just, you know, we're looking, people look out for themselves. And that's what God is trying to tell you when we say 1,000 times over, Kol Yisrael Arev Mizel Ozeh. It's a profit-sharing religion. We're all in it together. And it's like we're all part of JetBlue. If one person sleeps on the job, it affects the bottom line for everybody. And that's why we have a mitzvah, Hocheach Tochiach Esam Yisecha. It's not to go after the other person. It's because it will affect you in the end. Because if he doesn't straighten up and do his job, you're going to lose. And that's
yeah, but Moshe was not Moshe. Moshe was not dispensable, and every morning we say there'll never be another prophet like him.
Well, we know, yeah, but at the time that he died, the very interesting that Chazal points out, and the Talmud tells us, when Aaron dies, it says, Vayivku Kol Beis Yisrael, everybody cried. When Moshe died, it doesn't say Kol Beis Yisrael. Generally speaking, people were sad, but not everybody was in mourning. There were people who weren't so upset that Moshe died. They were happy they were finally, after 40 years, listen, let's get on with the show. You know, the king is dead. Long live the king. Let's get on with the show. That's it. That's a lot of people feel that. You could see that. I mean, so a lot of people get upset that, you know, over what happens in politics, but life goes on and you move on. And that's the way people are. And they don't sit. There's a certain enough time to mourn. And it's... And by the way, that's one thing I didn't mention, is why the Paraduma has two cycles of being cleansed on the third day, and then again, once again, you go through the second cleansing on the seventh day, because we say when somebody dies, the first 3 days are Shlosha Yomim Lebechi, that you have to really be in major mourning and not allowed to do any work. You sit home like that, and while after 3 days, from the third to the seventh day, the mourning lessens somewhat. So we cleanse ourselves after the 3 days to end the first stage of mourning, and we move along. And that's why there's two stages in the purification process after you've been in contact with a dead body. So all these things are very interesting. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye. Anybody else?